Welcome to the Hex Pod, an arcane League of Legends podcast dedicated to reviewing each and every episode every week. My name's Nick.
I'm Michelle.
Coming hot off the watch of episode 5, named
Everybody Wants to Be My Enemy.
Do they?
I don't know.
I don't. It's bad times. When you're on, I'm your enemy. That's not a happy home. I got a correction from last week. I think we said toward the end of the podcast, I said something about Zahn and Piltover. Are they named something together? It's like, were they named like a one continuous like country? And we both like, I don't know. Runeterra is what it's called. It's like the name on everything. Yeah, that's what it's called, Runeterra. So that was one correction we needed to make. I know there was another one, and I thought about it all day today. Now, of course, we hit record, and I can't think of what it is. But
there's probably plenty.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, we wanted to steer clear of all lore, and I really have not touched, almost not even read it hardly at all. Except, well, I guess we have. I have been lately, but trying to make sure we come in this with virgin eyes. But anyhow, what did you think of episode 5?
I liked Vi and Caitlyn running around. I know we'll get to that, but
that's all you liked?
I thought this episode was a little slow. I mean, it was fast, but it was a little slow.
Why are you rubbing your legs? Why you say that?
I don't know, because it helps me think better.
Okay. I like to rub my...
Okay. Rub your what?
Rub my arm hair, which I don't have much of it, but, you know. Okay.
What did you think?
I don't know. It was fun. It was probably equivalent to what Act 1, Episode 2. And this is kind of like the middle section. It's kind of... equivalent, I would say, to what that was. It's just building. Actually, no, this episode's better. I like this one more than episode 2. There was actually quite a bit that happened in establishing the Vi and Caitlyn relationships, kind of building that off the ground. The Mel and Jay shit, I have a lot to say about that fucking shit. And because I read some defenders of the whole Mel Jace thing online. Now, I know this does take a turn later in the season, and I don't know how much we want to get into it right now, but as far as first impressions, yeah, I got a lot to say about that when we get to that stuff. Other than that, it's kick-ass shit. It was a good fight. There's some awesome cinematography, I guess. Is that how you say it? I guess kick-ass animation, but like the visual storytelling. It was really good, especially with Vi parkouring across the zone. Was pretty neat. So let's get right into it. What do you think?
I think it's time.
it's time. It's okay.
It's that time again.
That time of the week. All right. We open up the episode with Caitlyn training with her gun. She's actually in a contest. She's up against Grayson. If you remember, she's a sheriff from the past. And this is actually going to be a flashback. And as Caitlyn wins the contest, but she beaten Grayson, but she believes Grayson let her win, which actually Grayson did kind of let her win. She says it. But also, they pronounce Caitlyn's last name, and I wrote it down, Kiramen. Kiramen is how she said it.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
So, yeah. That's what we open out with, Grayson and Caitlyn.
I was glad the flashbacks were back.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But like I said, also in that scene, like, I guess Caitlyn's convinced. Well, obviously Caitlyn's a good shooter too. Mm-hmm. But Caitlyn's convinced that her parents paid for her to win.
Yeah.
And she kind of has a little talk with Grayson, and Grayson kind of mentioned something about like protecting the people in the city is ward enough for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's something to do with kind of why Caitlyn wants to become an enforcer or not, but
I think so. I think that it's kind of, again, these fucking flashbacks are always good. It's planting that she's good shot, and it's planting kind of like the life of an enforcer. Well, I guess it's Grayson just telling her how important it is to her and what it means to her is just telling a young girl, you know, this is something you can strive to be too. Mm. I think that's what they were shooting for. So, I mean, and this episode is a lot about Caitlin being an enforcer and Vi. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about it?
I don't know.
That's about it. I mean, that's all it really says, I think. So, all right. Now we move down to kind of a big scene, pivotal scene. Caitlin's down in Stillwater. She's questioning Vi. Vi mentions Silco. Caitlin shows the picture of Jinx's graffiti. Vi obviously recognizes it, and she mentions that she hates all the enforcers. Caitlin does talk to the guard about releasing Vi and lets him know about Jace being now a council member, and she ends up Caitlin lets Vi out.
So she uses Jace to get Vi out.
That's what she told the guard.
Yeah. Because my council member, Jace.
Yeah. There's a lot here. Where do we want to start? You want to start?
Sure. Well, first of all, Vi mentioned Silco. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that Caitlin knows who Silco is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's just because she knows, because her research that she's been doing. But then when she shows the picture of Jinx's graffiti, Vi obviously looks shocked that, I don't know if shocked that she's still alive or shocked that she's
probably just involved somehow.
Involved with Silco somehow, yeah.
Yeah, but it looks like Caitlin doesn't think much of Silco, because like when Vi mentions him, what does she say? She calls him like the industrialist or something?
Yeah.
And she doesn't, I don't know, to me it looked like she didn't really think much of Silco, like kind of like he, like that guy's involved type of way. But it does talk about, I guess it kind of gives you the idea of what Vi thinks. Well, I mean, fucking Marcus has put Vi down in here, what, for 7 years?
Yeah.
She's been down here in this prison, getting the shit kicked out of her by prison guards. And basically just off the map for 7 years. And Vi hates all enforcers. She's like, I hate all you guys. Basically hates everyone from Piltover. I think for pretty damn good reason too. And the guard that Caitlin talks to about getting Vi out, you know, he mentions, you know, we beat her on the regular.
Basically.
I mean, like, that's...
Visits.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anyone to have a grudge against, you know, and that's why probably, well, not probably, that is why she's very standoff with Caitlin at first. So.
So, like, the guard, he didn't really, I don't want to say this, like, he didn't really know who Vi was, right? I mean, obviously, he knew that he beats her, but maybe they beat lots of prisoners. I don't know. Because it seemed like he let her go kind of, I don't say willy-nilly, but.
Well.
I'm sure if Marcus was there, he would be like, oh, hell no. I don't care what Councilmember G says.
Yeah, I mean, he's had Vi tucked away in a back corner off the map, off the radar. Yeah, he wouldn't have let her out. But I meant Caitlin is an enforcer, and she said, I do have the permission, she has authorization from Jace to get him out, let him know he's a council member, and that's how she was able to get him out. I mean, I guess it doesn't really go too far into the details of the guard letting him out, but I guess that's what they're insinuating and what happened. So, yeah. But yep, Caitlin and Vi make an acquaintance. Now, this is kind of when we go to, what else do we have to say about that scene? Anything?
Or that? I mean, I kind of feel in a way that Vi kind of tricks Caitlin into letting her out too a little bit.
Wait, who? Say that again?
Vi tricks Caitlin into like kind of letting her out. You can't make it down there on your own.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. She kind of needs her, so. Does Caitlin know that's Caitlin doesn't know that Jinx is her sister yet? Mm-mm. Do they?
I don't even think she knows who Jinx is.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
she.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
she
yeah,
knows
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
that.
Right.
Well, I guess she saw her at the
explosion.
Explosion, but yeah, I don't know that she knows. Yeah.
Specifics.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we move on to Marcus actually at the funeral of the dead enforcers that were blown up by Jinx. And this, we come to find out Marcus does have a daughter, and he shows his daughter Grayson's tombstone. So it's Marcus. This is kind of giving a eulogy over the dead enforcers, talking about they were people's brothers, they were people's fathers, daughters, whatnot. And this is, I guess, showing the that Marcus has a daughter, and this is going to be kind of his Achilles heel.
Right.
You know, this is the thing that it's going to be, I'm not going to say everyone has a weakness, but I meant he does have a kid.
Right.
It's going to be
leverage. His own family, yeah.
Exactly. So, and, you know, you get the sense that Marcus is actually still pretty torn up about Grayson being dead too.
Yeah. He talks about
how. We always talk about, like, what was she? She was the sheriff.
I knew that.
No, fucking bullshit.
I did too. I'm pretty sure I said it.
No, well, maybe you did. I'm like, well, was she? We're like, we don't know. Was she? Yeah.
Pretty sure I said that when an episode, what was that, episode 3 when she got killed? I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Did you?
I did. I'm okay. Pretty sure I knew that already.
Okay. Maybe I'm just a dumb one. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we're gonna move down to Marcus. He's arguing with Silco about the explosion incident. Marcus wants Jinx arrested. And Silco explains that we can blame this on the fire lights. And Silco ends up giving a bag of money to Marcus to go ahead and pay the families off to keep him on the hush hush, I suppose. So, yep. What do we got here?
That's about it. I mean, like, obviously Silco doesn't want to give up, you know, obviously has an attachment to Jinx and doesn't want to give her up, even though he definitely is a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
A little too unpredictable. I think even for Silco, but he's still got a little soft spot for her. So
yeah, Silco ain't going to be giving up the Jinx too easily here. that's when he pulled. Okay. Maybe I'm jumping ahead here. When Silco busts out that bomb and gives it to Marcus, that happens later, though.
That happens later.
That's not right here. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the firelights are going to be a good escape goat for anything that goes wrong because, like he said, they're a thorn in Marcus, you know, the enforcers, and they're a thorn in Silco's gang spine. So, I mean, they're going to be a. Blame them for everything, I guess. So, okay, now Jason and Victor do talk about the hex. Victor wants to help. Victor's more on the board of what he wants to help the Zaun citizens with the hex technology. Let me read my notes here. Okay, Jace talks to Marcus and wants Marcus to question the citizens of Zaun. Victor's nose, during this, Victor's nose does start to bleed. He does get a vision, which we don't know what the vision is. So, okay, this is, Victor used to be a citizen from Zaun, right? Yeah, he was. So that must be why he wants to, so Jace has been using this hex to primarily to further the economic status of Piltover with the hex gates for trading. Victor wants to start elevating Zaun with it, and
or the working class.
The way that conversation went, it looks like Jace hasn't even thought about that. He was just kind of like, I don't know. He didn't even really.
Well, it's kind of weird because like Jace he's not from Zaun, but he's from a working class. I mean, his dad built hammers, so. I mean, he built just tools. Like, so he has a lower name class, I guess you'd call it. So it's kind of weird, but I think since he's become such a big name that it's kind of groomed him to be, you know, so his background is lower class, but he's being groomed to upper class.
He's moving that peg up the social status ladder, right?
Forgetting. I would say forgetting.
Where he came from?
Yeah. But I think he's always not wanted to be where he's come from either. And that's part of the reason why he started all this. Because I know there's a part when he, you know, in the first act when he was, you know, exiled or whatever from the university, the academy.
And
he just said, oh, I'll just have to go back and make tools and, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, with his, I mean, I guess I kind of see what the both sides of this, you know, like what Jace is trying to do and what Victor's trying to do. But I mean, they don't, I guess, I don't know. They don't, I guess they don't really fight about what needs to be done. They just have, they, I guess like that's Victor's just working on one thing and Jace is just working on another thing, but it's never really, it doesn't seem like they're conflicting about it though.
No. The only thing I kind of got from this, like what I was kind of wrote down when I was watching this scene, is that Marcus seemed more concerned with the safety from what got stolen and who has it and who's going to use it. So mm-hmm. he is more concerned about like the safety side. I don't know if it's for actual safety reasons or because if something happens, that's going to look bad on him because he's kind of the face of it. But then I also thought that Victor was more into wanting to progress with the project and saying to help people. But I kind of wondered if it was a little bit to help him because he knows his health is deteriorating.
Yeah, it could be.
A little bit too. So.
Yeah, it could be.
And that's why he was so persistent on like, oh, who cares that they stole crap? We need to keep working on this because right. I'm running out of time. Right.
Time's, Father Time ain't too good on me right now. Right. Yeah. And this, I think Jace is kind of, yeah, he's kind of asserting his authority right now on to Marcus about finding that Hextech gemstone and getting Marcus out there to start looking for it. But you know, Marcus is slightly corrupted. So, I mean, it's probably why he's not too keen on.
Is this the scene too? I didn't write it down, but I know there's a scene where Jace kind of says that, kind of hints at that there's something deeper going on in here and going on within the system. Like, and it causes Marcus to kind of be like, maybe I got to watch my back with this dude.
Yeah. I mean, this is the scene they talk, and this is the scene he's trying to get him to question the. Start questioning people, and Marcus is kind of like, maybe you need to consult with the other council members first. And,
yeah.
And Jace, no, you need to do this. So, yeah, I mean, he's straight up corrupted. So, I mean, but half of it is because of his daughter. But I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. Now this is kind of where we go back to Jinx's little lair, seeing her working with the hex gem. She's trying to, basically to get this technology to work, and she has a flashback of killing Clagger and Milo, and yeah.
Kind of a little, I don't say outburst, but a little bit. Mm-hmm. Emotional outburst.
You know, and I was going to kind of talk about this at the end, which I might go into more, but it's really a damn shame that she's kind of like fucking off the rocker, because it looks like she could probably do a lot of good if she would have this like the work that she does, if it's more focused on being productive rather than being destructive, she could probably do a lot of good. She seems like she's a bright little girl.
Right. I mean, she's able to read all of Jace's notes. She's in there in the book, you know.
Exactly.
And she figured it out like in a day.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just kind of, it's kind of a damn shame that she's kind of a nut job. I don't know how else to describe her, but yeah. But yeah, you know, it does show that, you know, the death of Clagger and Milo do haunt her. It seems like on a daily basis, she's torn up about this. So, you know, she's trying to deal with her own demons as well. She's getting groomed by a fucking drug warlord. So, I mean, it's kind
Daddy
of a
warlord.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad road to be going down. But all right, this is where we get a scene of Caitlin and Vi making their way from Piltover down to Nazan, kind of doing the parkour. And Vi makes, I say she makes these, I was actually just really impressed with the way this looked. Mm-hmm. It's just her just kind of parkouring down, but there was like a lot of really cool visual shots of just real, I don't know, real cinematic looking. It was really neat. And it's kind of funny. Caitlin's like just stumbling down the side of these buildings the whole time. Just barely making it.
But she looks athletic, so I don't know. But I mean, I guess.
Yeah, but
still an art.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, you could be a swimmer, but it doesn't mean you're going to be a good gymnastics tumbler. You know what I mean? It's like two different things. Like, but yeah, she's a good shot, but not necessarily the best at parkour. But Vi does make it to the bottom, and she actually beats up this guy for his. It doesn't show, but beats up this guy for his jacket. And yeah, that's where she gets her red jacket from.
And yep, and she gets clothes for Caitlin. So yep. She doesn't quite look enforcer like
to blend in, to be a little blend in with the crowd. Now, this is where we do see Victor working on the hex ruins. And Jace is basically asking me, "Are you sure this is safe?" Because he's it doesn't say what this is. This is like the first time we've seen it. It looks like a video game he's playing. He's putting his hand in. He's kind of like moving that thing around.
Yeah.
The ruin, the hex arcane ruin. Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Yeah. I swear it doesn't say. I was trying to pay attention to find out. Because I remember the first time I never knew what it said. And I was trying to pay attention to see if it mentioned it. I didn't see it. I didn't see him mention it. But.
And Victor seems very memorized by.
What's going on?
By what's going on with that. And he starts talking about.
Actually, fucking Jace doesn't even know what it is. He's like, what is this? Are you,
so. Like, I'm too worried about dealing with other stuff in here. And yeah, he talks about how he thinks he can multifunction the stones and make them so they can adapt and learn, which I'm pretty sure is what Heimerdinger was very afraid of, actually.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's what he kept warning of them. Basically, yeah, just making sure the shit doesn't go too far. Is that what kind of what he was getting at? Yeah.
Yeah, having its own substance be able to learn on its own.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about all that.
You don't want Heimer taking a peek. What is this shit? And, okay. We get kind of a funny scene. A little bit of levity in here. Avi eating the fish, and Caitlin's just looking at it like, what is this? And Caitlin wants Vi to start questioning, like, the guy serving the food. She basically wants Vi to start taking action about the things that she knows of the Zaan citizens, and Vi's just kind of standoffish. I guess this really lays it down thick that Caitlin is definitely a fish out of water right here.
Right.
I guess kind of in a funny sense that Vi is eating fish, but I mean, it's they're laying on thick like this is not her, let's say, her normal day of life.
No.
Because like the food, she's disgusted by the food, just the way the people are and her surroundings, and Vi is just right back at home.
Right.
And very comfortable, and she's loving that, whatever that fishy shit is. So.
And I think at this time, Caitlin's kind of having her doubts that maybe she just got used to get out of jail.
Yeah.
And she's not really going to help her.
You know. She, you know,
buys that. Until.
Till what?
Till the chef, the fish, which is weird. Okay, so the guy, the chef is like a fish and he's like serving fish. But what?
It's cannibalism.
But he slides her paper with a symbol on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Caitlin and Vi both see it. Vi sticks it in her pocket, knows exactly what it means or where to go. And then Caitlin's kind of like, okay, maybe we are doing this.
I give her some time, man. She's fucking just got 7 years out of the joint.
I was going to say, did we know it was 7 years?
Yeah, I know. It said that one of the people, the writers, wrote that on the Twitter thing.
Okay.
Why?
I am very curious on Vi's six tattoo on her cheek. Is that for was the original six? Like, or I thought maybe it was 6 years, but then why would you do that?
Yeah, so one
you don't stay, know you're getting out.
I mean, you could go up to see. Okay, if you did the Roman numerals, you could go up to what? 9? Eight. You go up to 8 before you'd have to make something new, right? 9 would be the X with the one before it. Is that how it would work? Or is 9?
No, I'm sorry.
Is 9 in Roman numerals a V with 4 dashes after the V?
Yes. A V is 5, and then anything before it is kind of subtracted, and anything after it is added.
I know, but would 9 be an X with a 1 before it, or would it be a V with 4 in front of it? Shit.
I think it's actually a 1 with an X in front of it. Or, sorry, a 1 in front of an X.
No, it'd be behind the X.
Wouldn't that be 11?
No.
All right. We'll X, do our own.
Let's see. Okay, so it'd be an X. I'm doing this with my hands. It'd be an X with the one right here. That's 11. X with one behind it
would be 9.
Yeah, or would you write it a V with 1, 2, 3, 4? Or does it matter?
It probably matters.
But well, her fucking sure face would matter because if she was in there longer. dashes across her head and shit.
Or maybe six, as she killed six people. Maybe she's killed six people on the inside. I don't know. I'm just curious. I'm very curious about it.
I'm sure there's a...
I would like to know. I'm going to have to search it. But if you want to email us and if you know...
Yes, arcanepod@gmail.com.
I want to know.
We need to know.
I won't sleep until I know.
I'll make sure of that. Woman, wake up. Waiting for that email. All right. So, Jason Mel are in the theater. They're talking about Pilto. Okay. I remember when this scene was happening, you had an extremely confused look on your face.
I did. I'll be honest.
Do you know what they were talking about or not?
Yes. Yes. But I feel like I only knew what surfaced what they were talking about. Like, I felt like there's a lot more, and I just, I don't know if it's because I was writing stuff down.
What they were talking about was more or less what Mel was explaining to Jace was that all these people, the only thing they fuck above their own personal feelings of each other, their own personal feelings of the citizens, above all else, all they care is about getting that hex trade back up and running. And right now, since Jace suspended the hex tech, they all hate him. That's what she was telling them.
But it sounded like she was saying that these people, that they are involved in their own illegal trading.
Possibly. What she's saying is money and trade is all these people care about. They don't give a shit about anything else. And that's what she's trying to explain to them. And with Jace spending the hex thing, the hex gate shit, that they hate him for it. That's what she was telling them.
The common enemy. That's what she said. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Jace is like the new enemy. Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, I always like when I figure out what the title of the episode shows.
It's the name of the song, isn't it? Isn't that the name of the song? The intro song?
Maybe, yeah. I think. I know, but they're talking about Jace.
Yeah, but this fucking band is in this episode. Maybe you're both right. I don't know, but I think that's the name of the song. I don't know. You're funny. Okay. Now, you're going to look this up?
I am.
Okay. I'll go over the show here. Okay, Jinx, while you look that up, I'll describe the next scene. All right, we're going to have Jinx go. She goes back to the old hangout. She gets visions of her past, and she starts fighting the old arcade machine that V used to practice on. And she's... I think Jinx is just living up old demons right now.
Yeah. I noticed, like I said, when she's fighting and they show the score, she still gets second best score.
Yeah.
And so you know who's got first score. So she's her still,
sister. Yep.
So she gets upset and kind of has a little temper tantrum there because she's
still in Vi Shadow.
Second. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And that's just, It's just putting down more about how her past still bothers her, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially all. Kind of a cool scene, but she fucking shoots that bird. Like, I was like, God damn, man. But, bird meat. Yeah. All right. Caitlin and Vi stand up and look up at the last drop. And Vi is... This is very brief, but she's not very happy with the way the last drop changed. Mm-hmm. She kind of has this disgusted look on her face.
And kind of sad, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, disgusted. And she's just not happy about it. And that was that scene. That was all.
I think it brings back bad memories, obviously.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's a whole slough of things going through her head. Vander dead. Last drop changed. Just, yeah, nothing good. All right. This is kind of a long scene. Kind of a lot happened. This is one of the longer scenes in this show that lasts longer than 30 seconds. All right. Mel and Jace are talking that Jace didn't want to. He was saying that he didn't want to get back. He didn't even want to be in politics. Mel is... did you write notes on this scene?
Yeah.
Help me break it down.
Yeah, I was kind of a little confused because then the older lady, I don't know what her name is, she kind of walks in And she talks about how enforcers were knocking on her door. So was she making, that's why I was confused. Was she making illegal trades?
Oh.
And Mel's basically telling her, if you side with Jace, then that won't happen anymore. You won't have to
I think what happened. Okay. All right. Yep. I was read my notes. Okay. What happened was, okay, so Jace and Mel are talking. Jace didn't want to be part of the politics. When the old lady comes, when she's talking about that, what I think is, since they were at the place where the hex gem got stolen, the enforcers are looking everywhere for the hex gem, even the council members. And Mel talks about the trade reopening. And this is when Jace talks about getting investors with the council members to investing in the hex technology again. And this is when basically Jace starts making some deals. He starts not being their enemy,
right?
Yeah. So I think that's what he was talking about, the enforcers going to their place. I would assume they're looking for the, I mean, that's what the enforcers are out for, right? Looking for that gem, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't think the trade shit's not, they're not doing, well, they could be doing anything illegal, but I don't think the enforcers know, do they?
Probably not. I have no idea. I mean, I don't know how they would, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's just, do we want to get into the Mel shit now, or do we want to get into the Mel shit later?
In this scene, Mel makes comments about him being about Hextech being an investment and about Jace being an investment himself.
Yes.
So, okay. So how do you say Mel's last name?
I don't know.
Okay, because she talks about, I don't know if I wrote it down, but she talks about, maybe that's in a different scene, but she talks about, I don't know, she makes a comment about how her culture and her family were all about looking out for themselves. And it's kind of a quick comment, but she's not like that, but it's kind of like, well.
Her motivations are yet to be seen.
Yeah.
Are yet to be seen.
I don't like the way she talks about Jace.
No, like he's a piece of meat. Yeah, exactly. We'll get into the goodies here in a minute. All right. So, I mean, okay. So here's the thing. Jace now is back with the council members. He's back. This was Mel's original plan about getting, when she said something to him about getting the investors. Happy Progress Day, when he was giving this speech, she was like, you need to say something about the hex technology, that you've made advancements, because I'm trying to get investors involved. And he, you know, he didn't. Obviously, he doesn't really care about the investors. But now, since Mel's speaking in his ear about you're making enemies, you need to stop. And that's why he's basically wheeling and dealing now with all these council members about getting their money involved. Yeah, now he's back. He's back on the playing field again.
I also think it's kind of interesting. Well, I say this whole scene with them about the investors is happening during this prestigious concert or something.
Yeah.
So all the big people in town are
there, you know, too.
They're present. So that's kind of why this is probably happening here. But at the end, you know, Jace is going around shaking all his hands and Heimendinger is just sitting in the audience laughing. So he's out of all this corrupt shit.
Yeah, he's having a good time.
I was going to say, which at first Heimendinger was Jace's kind of like who he looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like tables have turned a little bit.
Well, Jace is certainly climbing the social ladder. I mean, he's accelerated in it. But
I don't really know if it's a ladder he wants to be climbing.
Maybe, maybe not. But, I mean, it's for good reason. I mean, say what you want about Jace. The dude does make technology that can change the world, these people's lives forever.
But is it him or is it Victor?
Why'd you look at me that way?
I don't know. Because it makes it more dramatic.
Yeah, it does. I guess both of them, because it originated with Jace's research.
Yeah.
And Victor's, I mean, they're 50-50 partners. And Jace or Victor never say otherwise.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no jealousy. There's no, I mean, there's, you expect the way most 99% of shows would handle this, Jace gets all the attention. Mm-hmm. Victor gets jealous. They get mad at each other and they fight and split from being friends. That's not what this show is doing.
Yeah.
I talked about this last week. They never fault off the friendship. There's always friends. They're always, Jace has his back almost all the time. I mean, you could say shit about when he's fucking Mel and Victor's doing some, whatever the hell he's doing with the rune stuff. But I don't know. I like how they don't fight about Jace getting the attention and Victor's nodding. How Victor doesn't get the attention. Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on. All right. So this is when Vi and Caitlin go to the brothel. Caitlin feels very uncomfortable. What?
The brothel where all the secrets are kept. Is that what they said?
I'm sure.
Or all the biggest secrets are spilled, I should say.
Yeah, that's how it is. Whisper some words to a guy's ear, he'll tell you anything. All right, so Vi wants Caitlin to pretend to work there to get some information, and Vi starts calling Caitlin Cupcake. And this is when...
Because she's hot. Because you're hot, Cupcake.
Yep. Is this when that guy Pim comes over? Does mm-hmm. that happen right here? Or does that happen... Does it
just around this time, yeah.
Yeah. So Vi tries to get, or a man comes over, and Caitlin and Matilda, was that what the name was they came up with?
She's Vi's name Matilda, yeah.
Yeah, and the and Caitlin's clearly very uncomfortable with this whole situation. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
Vi's kind of in a way giving Caitlin tips. She tells her, she's all like, just act like you got something that they want to know,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get everything that you need to get.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she tells her to act like a worker there, and because she's the one who's hot, so she can get the, I guess maybe get the ones with the most secrets out. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of the whole cupcake thing was pretty funny. I don't know. I think. I guess the scene plays more humor than anything, I think. Yeah. It's just Caitlin very uncomfortable with being there, just like, what the fuck is this? Because apparently I don't think she spends her Saturday nights at these type of places very often. So I don't know. Okay, so Marcus goes and visits Silco again. Tells Silco about Jace. And this is when Silco basically gives Marcus one of Jinx's bombs. And Marcus has a vision of blowing them all up. And Marcus ends up obviously not happy. Marcus leaves with the bomb, and Silco tells Jinx that she needs to start weaponizing the Hextech, mm-hmm. and Jinx doesn't want to.
Yeah, so he gives him the bomb as evidence
for the firelights.
For the firelights, yeah. And
I don't understand how.
Well, because the bombs are obviously at like probably the crime scenes.
Yeah.
So if Marcus comes back with a bomb and says, "Oh well, I found it with the fire lights," you know what I mean? They're gonna obviously believe Marcus because he's the sheriff. So
it's like he's just planting evidence. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, or like he basically.
Huh. All right. Yeah, I didn't really. I was like, "What the fuck? Well, how does that make sense?" But all right. Yeah, I guess if he's just planting evidence and just saying, "Nope, these are the fire lights," and they just the enforcers, I guess, are gonna roll with it. But But this, I think the, okay, so the vision, what do you think that represented?
Well, Marcus is thinking that he could, I mean, obviously I don't think Marcus, he doesn't really want to be in this deal anymore,
yeah,
but
exactly.
He doesn't really think there's a way out, obviously, not an easy way out.
I think this is like the equivalent of... when your boss at work is giving you shit, and you're just like, I want to reach across this fucking table and beat the living hell out of him. I mean, that's what this is, right? He's just like, motherfucker, I'd pull this pin so fast. But I mean, he can't because of his daughter, essentially.
Well, I think that part's true. I think it's more of like, it's gotten more out of Marcus's hands than he wants it to be. And he's
right
in the thick of it. And there's not much he could do, but pulling this trigger end his suffering. It would end the suffering that Silco has caused. But then, like I said, then, you know.
Yep.
His daughter.
There's and, that.
Know, whatever.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think Silco, he's wanting Jinx to, you know, to start getting on this hex, and Jinx doesn't want to. I think, you know, Jinx has been walking around, working, having these visions of the past. It's really kind of putting into question what she wants now. I mean, at least for this scene. Obviously, by the end, she does it, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, this scene, she is kind of questioning about what to do and what not to do. But now, Vi is talking to, did you catch this lady's name, this little lady? What was her name?
She was a Yordle, wasn't she?
A what?
Yordle, isn't...
What's a Yordle?
Isn't that the same thing that Heimerdinger is?
Oh, is she?
That's what I thought. But she's the, I don't know, she's the madam. I don't know if I called her name either. I just called her the madam.
I kept looking at the subtitles for her name, but I didn't.
She's
obviously
the woman in charge.
Yeah, the brothel. Yeah. And she's just talking to Vi about the past, and she tells her that Silco took over the last drop. And and it's very surprising this lady didn't know Jinx worked for Silco.
Well, I don't know if she didn't. That's why I question. I didn't know if she didn't know that Jinx worked for Silco, or she didn't know Jinx was powder. That's what I thought, that she didn't. They probably all know who Jinx is. People have to know who Jinx is. I mean,
everyone seems to know
she's a terror, but yeah. I just don't think they don't know that Jinx was powder. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably.
And she kind of talks in that scene too about how Silco basically took over Zahn, and he did it very easily.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, when the I think when Grayson died, then Marcus kind of took over the backroom deals. Grayson wasn't even have a backroom deal with Silco. She had it with Vander, and Silco wasn't really in charge quite yet when Vander was still alive. So when Grayson died and Vander died, yeah, see, that's what Grayson was saying the whole time. Like, Vander, if you go away, things are just going to get, I mean, this gonna, it's going to get wild down here. Yeah. And as soon as he died, Silco within 7 years is running that joint completely. Right. Everything. And Marcus is being a bitch. Being a bitch. So, well, it's kind of funny. This is when she walks out. You see Caitlin chatting up a lady out there, which kind of wink, wink. Caitlin's a little, she's swinging with the women. I don't know how to say it.
And Caitlin, or Vi, kind of smiles at that. But in that scene, though, the madam, I'm sort of going to call her, she makes a comment about she doesn't really know what's going on with how Sigil's involved with any of this, but she just knows that his second man frequents the brothel, and I'm assuming she tells her where to find her. That's why Caitlin leaves to go.
Oh, find Silco.
Yeah, to the last shop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I'm surprised this lady didn't know more. As being someone who runs a brothel that's owned by Silco, wouldn't you kind of fucking know everything?
She's not worried about that.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah. All right. So, let's see. Mel tells Jace that, okay, in the next scene, we move over to Mel and Jace. They're talking. Jace and Mel talk about how Terrace's father was one of the men that helped build the city. His family did with hammers. And Mel and Jace get it on.
There's a kiss first.
Whatever. Whatever. I mean, this kind of intertwines with Victor, his nose bleeding, and him doing work on the hex arcane. What the hell is that thing called? The ruin? The hex ruin?
Say, yeah, sure.
If you know arcanepod@gmail.com, tell me what it is. Because even I didn't know the first time we watched it what it was called, and I still don't know what it's called. I could probably Google this shit, but.
And what did we say the lab girl assistant's name? Is her Sky?
Her name's Sky. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
She kind of.
Yeah, she walks in, lets Victor know, like, why don't you come walking home with me? She obviously has either a professional crush or she fancies him somehow. and she wants to be, you know, she wants to get to know Victor a little bit better, but Victor is kind of standoffish with his work and just kind of like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah, I feel like he's like in the scene, like obsessed.
Yeah, he is.
And I don't know if that has, like I said, what I said before about, you know, his time is ticking and he thinks that this is either he wants his work to be done before his time is, or he wants it to help him.
Right. Oh, you mean like, is it going to help accelerate Zahn or help? Maybe it's, he knows all the stuff it can do. It can help him. It can help Zahn. It can help Piltover. It can help the world. It can help all the crazy wild shit it can do. And I think that's why he's just so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for better or for worse, it's a miracle product. So
we have a mix of passions in this scene.
Exactly. So,
and I feel it's Victor's passion for this new project and Mel's passion for control.
For Jay's dick, yeah. Exactly. So what do you think? Okay, so what do you think about the Mel giving up the forbidden fruit to Jace in bed and everything that happened before this?
Too soon.
They've known each other for how long? For at least 7 years. He's waited quite a while.
Well, I guess maybe she got him to make all the deals. I guess that was his, she got him to do all the dirty work. So that was her prize.
There are some defenders on Reddit of Mel.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Now we haven't reached the point you can find. We're going to start to see Mel's motivations coming up in the future. Mm-hmm. My argument is that don't matter. What she's doing is downright fucking shit. That's my argument. When you manipulate people. Okay. No matter what she's trying to do or why she's doing it, she's still doing it.
Yeah.
She's still, she almost says it straight out. I am manipulating you. Then she throws her fucking pussy in the mix. Now she's really got an iron grip on him. Like, okay. And this is, okay. The analogy that I have of manipulation speaks perfect from Lord of the Rings. Who would have guessed, right?
Right.
Okay. So here's the thing. In the Two Towers, Gandalf, his whole arc is he has to manipulate Theoden to do what he wants, the King of Rohan. The reason Gandalf gets a fucking pass and Grey Worm doesn't is because everyone loves Gandalf. But what he was still fucking, okay, he was manipulating Theoden to go out and meet the orcs in the field of battle. If that motherfucker would have listened to Gandalf, all of the Rohirrims would have been dead in mass genocide. But luckily, Theoden didn't listen to Gandalf. But Gandalf's whole arc is manipulating Theoden to get him to do what he wants. That's bad. Grey Worm did it to Theoden before Gandalf got there, and that's why he was always already a crusty old man, shriveled up, prune looking dude until Gandalf saved him. So I mean, even Ian McKellen said, "I don't even like who fucking Gandalf becomes because he becomes a little shithead." Okay, manipulating people is bad. You just have to be honest with people.
Correct.
You just have to be honest with them. Mel's using her fucking pussy and using her Rico Suave talks to get what she wants. For better or for worse, her motivations don't matter. She's still fucking doing it.
Right.
Fuck this bitch, man. That's my final stance. Fuck this bitch, man. I'm not going to say I dated a girl like this. Not quite this bad and extreme in these type of circumstances. Or existential threats, I should say, where we're dealing with like nuclear powers and all sorts of crazy shit. But I was in kind of a similar situation. Let me tell you, it's not fun. Those people suck. So maybe once we get a little bit further, my opinion might soften up on her. But right now, she sucks. Jace, you gotta look past the pussy, man. Gotta do it. Gotta do it, brother.
But see, that's the thing that I don't really think. I don't know. Like this whole time, though, I didn't really think like, I don't know, like Jace was into her like that. But
come on, she's fucking like they're like the same. She might be a little bit older than him, but they're about the same age. you know, she's...
So that means he should automatically be into
it. Well, what? But I'm saying, like, she fucking gives it up to him. Well, I mean, he's a dude, I guess. I mean, he's not banging anybody else, so... Apparently, there's people mad that, like, he's not fucking Victor, apparently.
He's not what?
Fucking Victor, apparently. They say Mel came in and... I was like, the dude's not gay. Like,
like to me, he's almost just like kind of, well, like, I don't want to use a wrong verb.
It might be asexual. Was it, is like it asexual?
Like, yeah. He doesn't really seem like he's into anything. I don't know, but, or maybe he's just not into any of those people that does. Well, I mean, he has, if anything, he seemed like he was more, I don't want to say into Caitlyn, but like, he was soft towards her, like, but there it was more of a friend thing, but like.
Well, clearly it was a friend thing. They grew up next to, it sounds like they grew up next to each other.
Yeah.
It was kind of like lifelong friends or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's just fucking career driven. You know, Mel's playing the game. She won so far. She got what she wanted.
But did she? Okay. Keep going.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. All right, we talked about all that shit. Silco and Jinx now are going to be in the water. Silco starts telling Jinx about Vander drowning him, and that actually, and Jinx is kind of standoffish on the story, but he lets her know that I was actually reborn. And this is when I have basically telling her, Powder, Powder needs to die, and Jinx needs to be reborn. And he baptizes Jinx.
Yeah. He baptizes. That's what I said, baptize.
What do you think about? I mean, this is essentially fucking Darth Vader trying to tell Luke to come to the dark side.
Yeah, that's
right?
What he called, said molding. He's, you know, so maybe he's been doing this the whole time, like molding her.
He's grooming her.
Grooming her, yeah. That's weird.
And that's all it is like, you need to make your final transformation to the dark side, basically.
So, so I guess I just kind of realized now, so Mel and Silco are kind of on the same team there.
Those two should date and see what that shit show turns into.
Silco's obviously manipulating Jinx a little bit too, a little bit. Maybe not in the same way. I don't know. There's a weird little like sexual daddy tension. I do. I don't know. Maybe it's just because they're like, because all video games, like, there always has to be weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's just, I mean, the fucking girl's weird, man. So, I mean, I don't think Silco's never came off like he's kind of creeper daddy-like. She just kind of flaunts herself all over him all the time. But, I mean, I think this is...
It's weird, like, because she's flaunty, which, I mean, I don't know if that's, like, a video game character thing. Like, you know, women always, they always have, like, big boobs, small waist, big butt. But then they always kind of talk immature and like baby voice too. It's, I don't know. It's weird. I'm sure there's a whole other argument for that.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But all right. So Vi's walking through. Yeah. Oh my God. Tell me, what do you think about this? The imagination track, what are they called?
I felt like it was like, the writers. Thank you to the Imagination Dragons.
Either that or it was like, you can use our song if you put us in the
show. It was like, that's why I just wrote their Imagination Dragons dream come true.
Yeah.
Because they talked about it in an interview one time that like they loved the League of Legends video game. So they, when they were asked to do the song for it, they were stoked or whatever. But
I know it was a little corny, but.
It was super corny, but I'm sure it made their dreams come true.
Yeah, right.
Again.
Yeah, it's just a little cameo. Vi just walking through Zahn with that. All right, so we get a little montage of Marcus is very upset. Mel wakes up and Jace isn't there. And this is where we find out Jace is by Victor's side in bed and basically lets Victor know that he's sick and he doesn't have much time. Looks like he has something to say.
That's where this is the part where it's like, did Mel really win? She got left by herself.
I mean, he just, what? She got everything she wanted.
She looks a little sad when she woke up by herself.
Man, she can fuck herself.
But I'm just saying that's where like the kind of the dilemma's like.
Yeah, right. I know. The question becomes, does Mel really care for Jace or she's just using him? That's my argument. It doesn't matter. She's using him to get what she wants. That's what I'm saying. What do you think?
No, I mean, I think she's using him too, but maybe she kind of sees them as a power couple in a way.
Yeah.
So it's still using him, but you know what I mean? Like, she could be his queen to his Mr. Wonderful King.
Maybe. Maybe. All right. So let's get to the good stuff. What do you think? Vi fights. Vi goes into the last drop, finds Silvica. Silvica?
Silvica.
Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. So they start fighting. Silvica reveals that she has a metal arm, and she's on, this is kind of when you start to see she's on the Shimmer, which is kind of used like as a drug enhancement fighting mechanism. But it doesn't matter. Vi basically is just beating the hell out of her. As they start talking, basically Silvica lets her know that Jinx is working for Silco. And as she tells her this, Silvica stabs Vi, and Caitlin pops out and shoots her in the arm and calls her Cupcake.
Yeah. I don't think Silvica isn't really on the Shimmer, just the robotic arm is too.
No, it is. It was. Did you see her face? Her face had the big purple vein. Yeah, had the big purple vein. It looks like a steroid or something, but just kind of makes you obviously a little bit more enraged. But it seemed like they kind of perfected it to give you just enough to, instead of going full out crazy, just enough to give you a boost in fighting capabilities. Because it looks like Silvica's still with, like she's still with it. Like she hasn't completely lost her mind, but she is juiced up though. That fight's cool though. It was a good fight. Watching Vi beat the shit out of her.
Chick fight.
Right, yeah. That was pretty neat. But then Caitlin shot pops out of nowhere, shoots her in the arm, and that's the endsies of that.
The episode?
No, that scene.
Oh, that scene. Okay, I was gonna say. Put down your paper like you were done.
No. What do you think about Vi calling her Cupcake again?
It's cute. You call me Cupcake?
Maybe. cook me a cupcake. I'm just kidding. Don't cook me anything.
I won't. Don't worry.
All right. Jinx is... This kind of shows when Jinx is finishing up. Jinx working on the hex gem. She actually gets it to work. And Silvica walks into Silco's chambers and lets them know that Vi is back. And that is a wrap on the episode. So
yeah, and Silco says... Silvica says the sister is back. And Silco says, from the dead. So he obviously didn't know she was locked up too. Which is kind of weird because Marcus is the one who locked her up, but...
But that's the thing. I think that's the thing, though. Marcus just... He threw in her hole and threw away the key.
Or maybe Marcus was supposed to kill her, and he didn't.
Maybe.
I don't know if we ever really find that. That really goes into that. Maybe.
Or maybe he didn't even mean it. Maybe he just didn't mean it. Silco didn't mean it literally. Maybe he just...
And they didn't really show, but Jinx is kind of in the same room, so Jinx had to have heard that, but they didn't really show... reaction to that, right? I don't think so.
No, I don't think he's in the same room. She's in the same room.
She's on the ceiling fan, industrial fan, isn't she? She's up there working.
Yeah.
And she hears Silvica come in.
Mm-hmm. It is a damn shame though. She's fucking, like, I mean, I said this earlier that she's just kind of off her rocker because it's wild that she's able to figure all this stuff out on her own with no training, no schooling, no nothing. She just looks at it and knows what to do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a damn shame, but I mean, it's kind of neat though. Kind of neat. So what are your final thoughts before we wrap this up? We're going on an hour.
Bitches be crazy.
That's what they're all about in this episode.
I don't know. Like I said, we went over it, talked for about an hour. It seemed like a lot happened, but there was a fight scene, but and I guess a lot of politics going on, and we learned about Victor, but it's kind of slower to me. I don't know. But I guess the best thing is Cupcake.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you're so sweet.
I like, I know I am. I like seeing Vi and Caitlin's relationship building. That's pretty neat. I know what I was going to say. what I think is good, which I think I told you this before, but what's neat about being gay or straight, like in this show, it doesn't matter like the way society looks at them. It's all the same. And that's what we liked when we watched the show Spartacus. Mm. Exact same thing. Like it's one of the one things like they don't say if it's like society doesn't say if it's wrong or bad. It's just it is what it is, and people like a gay couple is treated exactly the same as a straight couple. Like it doesn't matter.
Well, it depends. It depends how it looks at it, because like what you're talking about, like I know we're talking about other shows a lot in this show, but like Spartacus back in then, they didn't have the same society that told them that was wrong or bad. It, you know, so like when they live in this alternate universe, the society's not there to tell them. Cause like, even when you said earlier, you said the guy walked up named Pim. There was no way that I identified if he was a guy or a girl actually. And maybe he wasn't either. I don't know.
I thought he had a guy's voice, didn't he?
It was kind of a lower guy's voice, but I thought it was, you could have gone either way. But that's why, I mean, like I said, I don't want to get into a whole huge discussion, but like I said, I know like back with the Romans, it was perfectly normal for guys to go with guys and girls to go with girls because there was no society norm in that. That was normal. That was something that was usually.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, they could put that shit, that those problems into the show, and they don't. I think it's for the better.
Right.
So it's one less dumb thing to talk about. I mean, it's about argument over if it's right or wrong. So it's just, it is what it is, which is great. So I really like the episode. I think it's great. All these episodes are great. We'll be back next week. You know, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. That is going to, I don't even got anything to say about Christmas. We just give shit to our kids and ho, ho, ho. Happy New Year, I guess.
Bottles pop.
Yeah. So, you know, everyone have safe travels. If you do, you can reach us at arcanepod@gmail.com. I'm also known as Flying the Donut on Instagram.
And I'm at Instagram, at Michelle A. Ortel.
And everyone, happy holidays. We'll see you next week with the Act 2 finale. I don't know what it's called, but it's episode 6. But yeah, we'll be back next week, everyone. Thank you, and have a good holiday.
Bye.